You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
You know what they say about men with large antlers. They have a hard time wearing hats.
And Daryl.
Hey, you think you can help me find a bee? I seem to have dropped it.
Greetings and welcome to episode 159 of The Training Dummies, recorded on March 15th, 2017. My name is Daryl, and I am taking a break from renovations this week because I've been going steady on it with every waking hour not at work, working at home. Rob, what have you been doing?
I'm super excited that I'm not tanking anymore, and that's kind of weird because... because I tanked for so long. But yeah, man, I've just been like really, really, really enjoying just getting into DPS. So yeah.
That's
good. I have one more tune. One more out of all 12 that needs a legendary. My rogue is the last one that I can go through and delete all of them.
There you go. Good to go. Nice. This evening we're excited to have a very special guest. So let's give a big Training Dummies welcome to... Now I feel like an amateur for not getting the correct pronunciation before we started, but I'm going to go Perculia.
Is yes, that, okay. That is how you can pronounce it. You can just call me Perk as well.
Either Perk. Works. All right. Yes. Big Training Dummies welcome for Perk.
The great thing about you struggling with it now isn't that I don't have to. I can just
exactly. Call Perk, you know? I know. It's like, oh, no, I forgot to ask beforehand. Oh, man.
We'll
Thank
get to
you
know
for
you.
Having me on the show.
Absolutely, it is super rad that you agreed to come on and chat with us. And what we're going to do a little bit, there's probably I don't know, maybe three or four people out there on Twitter who don't know who you are. And for those people, we'll take a minute here and just get to know you. So, let's talk about Warcraft a little bit. How about how, what, when, where did you start playing, and what are you playing as a main in Legion right now?
So I started playing in Classic WoW. My college roommate at the time was playing a mage, and we'd always go out on the weekends, and she started playing WoW a lot, and I'm like, what is this game? Like, you know, we're missing our dinner, we're not going out, you know, we're not drinking, you know, you're in this weird instance with these stairs, and you're saying you want a hat, and she got me the game for Christmas, and I decided to be a rogue. And we, you know, ended up playing together and, you know, did our first raids together. And I stuck with the rogue for a really long time. But because the rogue always had kind of a demon hunter backstory, because in Burning Crusade, you know, she had the Warglaives and the Cursed Vision. Mm-hmm. I switched to demon hunter for Legion. And, you know, she had the same appearance, same name. And, yeah, so it's Perculia in the game as well. I started off on Feathermoon. And I was on Alun for a while, and Whisper of Wind, and now I'm on Stragaris.
So, what is the origin of the name Perculia?
So it did not stem from the word peculiar, which a lot of people assume was the case, which is just kind of funny, because they're like, oh, it's spelled almost exactly the same, but, you know, letters changed around.
Oh, I never
and,
noticed that before.
That wasn't the origin. Yeah, I cannot spell that word anymore. Like, it's like not physically possible for me to spell that word. But, yeah, I was, in this kind of pretentious, fancy, artsy club in college, and the name of the motto was Danger is Sweet in Latin, and, it was Periculum. So I was like, oh, you know, rogue, danger, I'll go with Pericula. And then, when I swapped servers, the name was taken, so I kept moving letters around, and that's how we have Perk now.
I love it, man. That's great. I actually like the origin word. That's like a fun word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you work at WoWhead. Why don't you talk a little bit about what you do there and actually what led you into that job?
Sure. So like I kind of alluded to, my background in college was a lot of art history and music. I did classical piano. I was organizing events at this big art museum. And you know, things changed. There wasn't a lot of job openings, you know, open for art. And when I was finishing up a master's program, analyzing education in art museums, I needed a break from that. So I started volunteering at WoWhead. One of my friends, Ashelia, was the site owner at the time. She thought it'd be a great fit because we would help each other, you know, get the insane title done. She liked my live journal posts on WoW communities. So she thought I would be a good fit. And I really like taking a break from all my research to write these, you know, weekend posts on like how to collect mounts or pets or, you know, put cute outfits together. And then they had an opening for a part-time position around the time Transmog was announced. So my first like official project for the site was coding up all those matching sets. And you might be thinking, oh, well, you know, everyone knows what a Transmog set is. Like, Wizards putting that in the game in 7.2. But, you know, like, there was no matching armor 5 years ago. So that was the project. And then, you know, as time went on, I started doing more stuff on the site, doing more news. Ashelia spent more time on her League of Legends site, so I took over some of her responsibilities, you know, like making sure the features work and planning what the new features were and all that fun stuff. And yeah, here we are. I've been with WoWhead about 5 or 6 years now.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It's kind of a, you know, fun path, but it wasn't super traditional, you know, it wasn't like I filled out a resume and, you know, like job experience, I rated here. It was you know, just was sort of a parallel career path. And even though it's pretty different from the art stuff I was doing, I think it's been useful because there's a lot of the same challenges where you take something that could be kind of overwhelming to people and you try to make it be really, you know, user-friendly, fun, and make done and make it. There's like so many paintings, there's so much data, you try to highlight the one thing that's really cool that people, you know, will want to spend more time looking and researching in a fun way.
What is your most fond memory because of gaming?
So I think my mind went in two different directions here. The first one was an in-game memory, which I think is going to be related to the next question. But I'd say, like, you know, the most fond memory is stuff like BlizzCon, honestly. Getting to meet people in person after you talk to them online for so long, you know, getting to meet Blizzard developers and say that they really like some article you did a really long time ago. That's actually a good thing to talk about more. One of the earliest articles I did was how a bunch of Cataclysm vendor items were named after English poetry from the 19th century, like hundreds of items. And I remember I hadn't really spoken to many Blizzard people at the time, and I was going to Blizzard for a press event in Mr. Pandaria. And these developers contacted me saying that, you know, they were so excited that someone finally found all these references and they, like, wanted to take me out to lunch and, you know, that we talked about poetry. And that was, like, a pretty magical, you know, experience.
That's awesome.
What would you say? Yeah,
it's really fun when different worlds collide. Sorry, I spoke over you.
No, it's totally fine. I was kind of, like, just enjoying hearing your story and then realized it was my turn to ask a question. what would you say is your most favorite raid boss of all time?
So that was tying into another of my fond memories. I think it was Yogg for several reasons, doing Yogg Zero Lights. I was an officer in like a top server guild for, you know, like Wrathed into Cataclysm before the WoWhead job got pretty intense. And we had, you know, we got all the server first titles, you know, from Alagos and Obsidian Sanctum and Naxxramas, but we never got Immortal, and we're kind of rebuilding the guild and determining how hardcore we wanted to be when I became an officer. And, you know, like Zero Lights, that was like a big challenge for us. Like, you know, it's like, we didn't get Immortal, but are we going to push to do this really hard challenge? Yes, we should. And of course we had attendance issues. People were mad we didn't get Immortal, so they left. And, you know, practicing Zero Lights when you have a roster that's coming together is really challenging. So it was a good memory for several reasons that, you know, I learned a lot about raid leadership and recruiting and how to, you know, still learning a lot about the process. It was really satisfying to get the kill. I remember I personally had a lot of utility jobs. For example, I had to go in the brain room. I had to get the things to kill that was the farthest back in the room. And then I had to use sprint to run up to put exposed armor on the boss because exposed armor was slightly better than Sunder armor. And on Zero Lights on 10 man, Phantom Vibes could interrupt everything in sight. So it was personally rewarding. I loved the lore. I loved Ulduar. Ulduar had a ton of cool rogue loot. And just the memories of, you know, working with a group of people that wanted to, you know, take the guild to the next level. That was all really special. And then even after we got the kill, it's still a really cool boss because we farm the instance every week to make sure that everyone in the guild got Mimron's head before the, you know, before that was.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, that's awesome. Nice.
Yeah.
What would you say is your favorite thing about Legion so far?
So, I mean, it's funny because, like, it's a tough question because, obviously, I've been playing Legion a lot. You know, my gut reaction would have to say Demon Hunters because, you know, Perk was a Night Elf Rogue, and then I was always transmogging her as a Demon Hunter. And now she can finally be a Demon Hunter and have the cool warglaives and, you know, tattoos and, you know, wings. And, you know, that's the obvious big thing that I like. But a secondary thing I really like is... just all the elven lore. You know, I mentioned that she had this sort of interesting demon hunter history, and in her really early backstory, I pictured her as kind of being this merchant in Suramar, and Suramar is, like, very snooty, and she was wealthy as a merchant, but, you know, because she had to make money for a living, she didn't really fit in. So when Blizzard announced that, you know, we're going back to Suramar, and it's open, I'm like, oh, well, like, this is where she's actually from, and it was really cool to explore the city and see how amazingly detailed it was and how it kind of lined up with my vision and seeing things like the markets and the shops and being like, oh, this is kind of where I pictured, you know, Perk growing up with her little market stall and pickpocketing the nobles that were elitist and snobby to her and all that stuff. And I really enjoyed learning about, you know, the Nightfallen, the Nightborn, seeing all the different cultures of elves work together in the Insurrection quest line. I've really enjoyed all that.
I feel like maybe I'm a secret, like, RPer, because I think about all that stuff too when I'm playing. Like, I actually, when I roll a new character, I'm like, all right, you know, thinking about the character's attitude and background and history, and, like, it's just, I don't know, like, I never talk about it with anybody, but it's like when I'm playing a character, I'm like, well, this one is a little more shy and reserved, you know, this one's kind of a jerk, and this one is very, like, you know,
it's super fun. I started off on an RP server, and I wasn't really into RP, but it was funny because people would always say things like, you know, they would sort of try to RP with you, and they'd say, like, oh, like, you picked the ugly Night Elf face, like, you must be shifty. So I sort of developed an in-game personality of, like, well, like, I'm going to be direct and blunt, like, I don't care if you disagree, like, you know, I'm on my own, like, I'll, you know, stand up for myself type of thing on Feathermoon. And then... people started to RP or have in-character interactions with me more because I was one of the first people on the server to get the Swiftzulian Tiger. So everyone's like, oh, like, what's your backstory? What's this? We're inspecting you. And I'm like, oh, God, my gear's terrible. Like, I need to get better gear. Like, I need to have a creator. Like, I deserve this mount that I have. And, you know, I need to have a cool backstory to explain, you know, why my character is so worthy of getting this cool tiger.
That's awesome. So I'm going to flip
one of my favorite mounts.
That one I never got, and I was always jealous. One of our old raid tanks, like, that was his one that he always pulled out, and every single time I wanted it. But I'm going to flip that question that Daryl asked, and ask you maybe what's one of the things that's frustrating about Legion, and what would you do to fix it?
Okay, my personal peeve is that 7.15 and 7.2 overlapped, but that's, like, a very specific to me thing, having to cover the news. But I think a related issue is that a lot of people feel that they have to do these kind of repetitive things all the time. And it feels bad because Legion is filled with a ton of new content. You know, we're getting weekly bonus events. Like, there's always a new quest to do every week. There's so much stuff. But it seems that people feel like they're compelled to, you know, do their dungeons for artifact power. You know, they have to do some world quests. But they have to do the same repetitive things. And a lot of the cool content is kind of being overlooked, which is sad. Or people don't think to go back and explore the larger world. You know, no one's like, oh, I'm going to go collect battle pets, Mr. Pandaria, or I'm going to get my transmog from Burning Crusade. It feels that people feel they just have to keep up with the grind in Legion, and that makes me, you know, kind of sad. I was one of those people who, even though I'm not, you know, obviously a hardcore raider now, when I see a lot of people talking about how they have to, you know, do all these Maw of Souls runs, I do sympathize how people think, well, if I did more AP, I would have higher stamina, I would survive, the raid would be more efficient, and, you know, I just feel bad for those types of people that they had to do that, especially because, you know, all those calculations were known throughout the Legion beta. You know, it was up there for a year, so it would have been cool if it was changed before so more people could have, you know, fun times exploring Suramar and seeing the gondolas or doing battle pets or, you know, not having to do the same repetitive things over and over if they wanted a change of pace.
It's super hard to address perception, I think. And I feel that Blizzard has said several times, like, this is not required. Like, dailies, emissaries, grinding, none of this is required. But, like, the problem is, if you put that stuff out there, we want to do it, right?
I remember...
To a detriment, almost.
Like, people made a big deal over 300 stat food. And it was kind of easy mathematically to prove, okay, these reagents are really tough to get, 275 is kind of easy, like... You could do anything else and get a more substantial DPS gain instead of farming this extra 25 stats from a boss attempt. But then when you see an artifact and it's like, well, if I farmed an instance for an hour, I would permanently have this damage and stamina boost and, like, this is an actual percentage increase forever, then it's a tougher sell to tell people that they, you know, shouldn't do that over something else. So absolutely, hopefully things will be changed in 7.2 with the... artifacts getting revamped. Although I do feel that the numbers for the artifact grind weren't super well known until WoW had kind of exposed that in the artifact calculator. So again, that goes back to perceptions. I feel that Blizzard trying to be, you know, more proactive with messaging about artifacts and, you know, kind of like a suggested daily diet of, you know, what they hope people will do in game. I think that you know, we need more of, and they've gotten better recently, but it still could be better. You know, we love updating the artifact calc, but we don't really want to be like, oh, surprise, like, WoWhead's bringing you the new values, first time anyone's seen it.
Oh, we know they are definitely taking steps to try and make things better with kind of redesigning the way the artifact power works and trying to grind that out, and then even with removing the new relic system that they were working on with the double traits on the relics, taking that out, it was just too problematic, and they just saw that it was going to be a never ending grind for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I know that the knee jerk reaction when you see things like, oh, 50 you know, ranks of concordance of Legion fall is like trillions of artifact power. I mean, I think that the first reaction is for people to panic and say, oh my god, like, I can never grind this out, but hopefully that can change perceptions. Like, okay, it's not humanly possible to max out your artifact in however many months. You cannot run Maw of Souls forever. So I'm not sure if I agree with Blizzard's approach of putting all these traits in with absurdly high costs, but hopefully it will change the mindset that, you know, maxing something out is a tangible goal.
I think a cap is the best way.
I'll try to be optimistic about it. I kind of feel like maybe you should have been like, okay, I've been getting all this AP, I'll put it aside and I'll go do something totally else. But, you know, I guess a trait costing a trillion artifact power is a, you know, deterrent that you shouldn't bang your head against that wall too much.
Yeah, but you know, there's going to be someone who wants to be the first to max it all, and they're going to do it.
Yeah, it's like we'll have a post in like patch 9.0 being like,
it did it.
World first, 50 out of 50.
It will not be me. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Daryl, do you have any more other opening questions?
BlizzCon, how excited are you?
Oh, yeah, so that just came out of the blue. I am super excited. I'm also caught off guard because it feels really early to announce the dates. I thought they were much later last year, but yeah, I'm super excited. We've started the process already of trying to nail down the same party planner system from last year because he was awesome, and having more people on board meant that WoWhead could do cooler things like an after party instead of just the party. So I was super excited about that, and I'm looking forward to seeing... It's always fun to see fans of the site, you know, meet people from other games, you know, meet people from esports. Like, I've run into all these Hearthstone players and they're like, oh, like, we used WoWhead like a long time ago before we played Hearthstone. It's, you know, super cool to meet people from the site. We always, you know, wondered who was working on it. So yeah, I'm excited about the announcements. I'm curious what we'll get. It was really intense last year because Blizzard was awesome, and they gave they made pins of me and Panzer and our likenesses, and they scheduled a meet and greet for us to hand them out at the same time as Legion What's Next. So I've never done a signing panel before, and then after that I come back and it's like, what did I miss? There's class mounts and there's, you know, everything going on, like sights on fire. So I'm curious if we'll know about 7.3 at that point, or if maybe expansion. I don't know. I'm curious. Yeah.
I'm thinking expansion, but
yeah. Although Legion, they announced the Legion expansion before the BlizzCon that year in I think it was August. Because I remember
like GamesCon. Yeah.
I was camping, but I had internet with me. So there I was, laptop, out on the picnic table as I'm camping, watching the Legion announcement. Yes, I'm full-on nerd, even when I'm camping.
They announced Demon Hunters at GamesCon, and then they announced the tentative release date and the Demon Hunter starting zone at BlizzCon.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got Alpha that spring, I think. And then it was playable that summer. So it seems Blizzard's taking a kind of new approach to content, where instead of like dumping it all on people at once, they try to stagger it out across conventions. Like even 7.2 last BlizzCon, you know, we learned about the class mounts at BlizzCon months before the data mining, and mm-hmm. they try to follow that up with more details on, you know, flag requirements and stuff like that. So, you know, the 7.2 news or hype cycle started since November, not January, when the actual PTR opened up.
All right. Well, this is kind of leading into some of the questions here, so let's get this out of the way first.
This is Automatic Jack from Incarnate, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
If you guys have any questions or comments or want to find out how we're doing, we are active on Twitter. The show is at Training Dummies. I am Matt Rob Copeland, and Daryl is at Daryl_TTD. And if you haven't figured it out by now, we're talking with Perkilia about Wowhead and all things related to PTR and data mining and all that good stuff. So, Mr. Perkilia, maybe if you want to talk about, you talked about the PTR a little bit, and you've actually set up some really great bullet points here for you. Maybe you want to kick us off there talking about PTR and pacing and what that means for you and your job?
Yeah, so a big part of how I got started at Wowhead was these weekend guides and also having this really detailed PTR coverage where, you know, we data mine something, but then we'd actually like try to find it on the server really quickly and write up why the item was important and, you know, try to give context for it. And we've tried to keep up that high quality coverage over the years, although it can be time consuming at points, and we try really hard not to be like, oh, here's this item, like, we know what it's for, we don't want to speculate and then, you know, get people upset. But when Blizzard starts doing all these patches faster and faster, it, you know, it takes a lot of the staff's time. So, you know, we have, I'm doing research, we have Kitsuki, we have Serene, we have Stevan, who also does our cinematics and videos. And it was really intense this past cycle because it has not let up in Legion. You know, we had Trial of Valor, that all went live right after BlizzCon. When 7.5 went live, they turned the 7.2 PTR on that week. So yeah. It was like, I'm trying to manage Nighthold guide, you know, making sure they're all good, while also talking about Tier 20 and class mounts
at the same time. I'm just thinking about doing stuff that's current, keeping your site current, but also everything that's coming down the pipe.
Well,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, even still, Rob, like I didn't mention this to you, but the reason we're doing this on a Wednesday instead of Tuesday is because they release new stuff on Tuesdays. And she asked if we could do it Wednesday instead because of that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, two comments about that. The first is that Tuesdays have just turned into this really intense, over-the-top news day because we get the new world boss, we get the new events on Tuesdays, and then we always have the new PTR notes, then we always have the new PTR data mining, and then we always rush to get up whatever the coolest thing about the PTR is. So yesterday, for example, there was this new Andron quest, so we're like, oh god, I gotta get this up. So Tuesdays are this, like, marathon day of coverage. But the other thing that's really weird about the PTR, which we don't really get into that much, is Blizzard is always changing how they package their data. And, you know, we don't work with Blizzard. We sort of just reverse engineer it. So sometimes Blizzard would change their packaging and we're like, hey, our tools are totally broken now. And, you know, your average user doesn't know or care. They're just like, why is the site not working? Like, why do the item money? Like, what happened to the artifact calculator? So there's this process where it's sort of like, you know, we have our toys all nice and organized. Blizzard kind of throws all the toys on the floor and we have to go reorganize them back onto the shelf. So that's been happening more frequently in Legion, and we try to prioritize the parts we know people really want to see. For example, we talked for maybe an hour today about how to get the new artifact traits in 7.2. On Wowhead, they're this weird jagged line, but in game they form a circle. And we talked for an hour about all the research that's going into turning that line into a circle. And you just be like, oh, like, why can't you just take it from the game? And it's like, no, it is really complex and twisty how Blizzard implemented this. So, yeah, just, you know, just keep in mind that something that seems really straightforward and once is out there is public knowledge, it's a lot of work goes into making it look very nice and, you know, easy and straightforward.
So how much time do you actually spend on the PTR? When a new patch or a new build goes up, do you go in and play the game and try to do these quests? Is that where you get it from? Or maybe talk about data mining a little bit and what that looks like to get what you want and then put that on the site.
Sure. So the whole there's a mix of data mining and then there's a mix of, you know, like applying our hunches into the game. So the Anduin quest is actually a really good example from last week. So I'm more of a content person, but we have a good data mining team, Calligraphy and Nicholas. And we get this alert whenever we see that the PTR has updated with the build, and we're always trying to make our alerts faster. And then we start the process of getting the preamble up, so, you know, like titles and global strings, and then we get the raw, what we call internally the diff up, which is what most people care about, the list of new and changed spells and achievements. You know, sometimes Blizzard might change stuff and it might be a few minutes late if we have to like fix the formatting, but that's the next thing that goes up. As the data mining team then moves on to a full update of the site, so talent calculators and items, I start going through that initial report to see if I notice anything that's interesting, like a new talent or, you know, maybe the name of a new mount, and I start writing up all the discoveries at the top. Then when we get items in, I, you know, write up the new items, and then I try to see if I can, you know, understand anything from the data mining to be like, oh, you know, this looks like a reputation item. When the PTR is back up, I'm going to go head to that reputation vendor right away and see if there are new items. So I have this, like, I always have this to-do list that's always developing when the build is going on. And so as a good example of how you merge the data mining with the actual playing, when we data mined quests last week, quests are the last thing to do. The server has to be up before we can data mine quests. I saw that there were a bunch of these quests called, like, you know, like Anduin or, you know, the King Reflects. And I'm like, I think that there's some Anduin series somewhere. Like, I just think that. And then I'm thinking, okay, some of these quests are talking about this, you know, tarnished trinket. So I started thinking, hey, like, you know, what if the trinket is the compass that's in the ocean after the cinematic? So, Stefan and I are, like, flying and swimming around the broken shore, like, trying to see if we find compass. And then, you know, we found that. So then we started, you know, writing up the quest and taking pictures of the whole thing. So it wasn't just like, hey, look, here's some data mine quests. It's like, okay, like, we're trying to use the data mining as hints to, you know, present something really cohesive, you know, with screenshots and a video and linking to the comic that explained Anduin, etc.
Wow.
So, I love that.
Absolutely love it. There's so much. I think people don't understand the work that goes into, you know, all this just so you can kind of keep the people in the know that want to be in the know. Do you maybe feel like the data mining piece is a bit, does it ruin the game for some people, or you just like, this is the world we live in and somebody has to do it, might as well be you? Or how do you feel about that?
So I mean, we feel that we like Wowhead has a really big audience, and we think that we should present things in the best possible way. So, you know, like, if we feel like if we didn't present it correctly, users could draw their own conclusions if they poked through the data or, you know, present things in ways that were less professional or polished. Like, you know, after every build, we analyze the spells and we make sure that we presented things correctly. This is actually an interesting point about that. Back in 2016, we totally revamped how we presented spells to have, like, cool toggles and color coding and stuff, and, like, traffic.
I remember,
like, super increased on those posts. So, you know, we feel like we have this responsibility as a site that does news, but, you know, also really known for, you know, accuracy and where you go when you're frustrated with something, to take the data mining and present it in the best possible way. You know, hide the spoilers under a tag, don't be sensational, double check, you know, all the tier sets before we put them live to make sure, you know, we've got all the colors right. You know, just like do a lot of that research. So if the people that want to be spoiled will have, you know, they'll be accurately spoiled at least. And the people that don't care about the spoilers or the PTR will still have lots of cool, you know, giveaways or Nighthold guides or a ton of other live stuff on WoWhead they can still do.
Awesome. So you segregate that enough to where if somebody doesn't want to be spoiled, they certainly don't have to, but they could still come and enjoy the site.
Yeah, actually, we started, I think, like, back when I started, the idea of, like, news roundups was more popular. I think that, you know, like, the internet's changed over the years. I think just, like, blogs that weren't even gaming related, it's like, oh, you know, like, Dear Diary, here's my update for the day, what I did. And we would cram a bunch of topics together in one post, but we've now separated it so, like, the live news gets its own post, the PTR gets its own post, and that lets us have more freedom to explain something in a post and also not, you know, muddle the audiences. But we do want to do a news revamp at some point where you could have, like, little filter buttons and be like, only show me live news, or, like, only show me PTR news, or, like, only show me the news that are Blizzard Blue posts, and we think that will, you know, also make people happy.
So I bet a lot of people think that working at a site like WoWhead is probably pretty glamorous. What does your day actually look like? Because you were talking earlier about, you know, we just spent an hour talking about this, and then we got on beta, did this. I mean, what does your typical work day look like?
All right. So yesterday was kind of over the top, like I mentioned. So yeah, let's not scare people with yesterday. Maybe yesterday versus today would be a fun comparison. All right, so yesterday, you know, woke up at 7 Pacific thinking that I had to write what the new world boss was, realized that it spawned at 8 because, you know, daylight savings.
Yeah.
And then people were like, oh man, there's this new urgent morning quest. Like, you got to cover it. And I'm like, wait, like, and then we realized that Blizzard hid the quest in the database. So we couldn't data mine them in advance. It was like,
oh, I love it. Right. Yeah.
So we had to, like, rush to add the quest to the site and, like, figure out what they were doing, you know, then still explain what the world boss and all that fun stuff was. Then the BlizzCon dates just happened to appear. So we, you know, we actually sat on the news for 10 minutes because we're like, is this a bug? Like, let's see if Blizzard takes this down. And then when they didn't, you know, we broke the news on that. And then we tried to keep adding articles because Blizzard kept adding information to the site over like 1 or 2 hours. So we kept going back and doing that. And it was like, ask my boss to see if we can hire the event planner again for BlizzCon. Then we got the legendary item changes. So it was, you know, format the post so it linked to all the legendary items and double check that our tools could run to data mine all that correctly. Then we had the actual build. Something broke with the build that wasn't really obvious, but it wasn't the end of the world. So we had to, you know, data mine all the changes. Then we had the Anduin thing going on as well, in between the PTR being up and down. So in the midst of all that, we finally got the Anduin video done, as well as the full quest series. So had to write all that fun stuff up about him. At one point, there was a cinematic fade to black, so then I had to oversee our team seeing if we could data mine the cinematic or if it was hidden yet. And then, finally, World of Warcraft Chronicle went live. We had a deal set up to, you know, promote the book and give away some copies, so I finished writing that up as well. And then on Wednesday, we have our big staff meeting where we plan out what we're doing in the next 2 weeks. So I had to, you know, ticket all the stuff that I wanted to get done, like make the artifact calculator have a circle instead of a line, or, you know, see if we can you know, we have Today in Broken Isles on the front page, and like, oh, you know, what do we want to add to the front page for that? And 7.2, like, is there some randomized thing people will care about? So that was kind of my day yesterday. Today was not as crazy. We had the Blizzard preview on Return to the Broken Shore. Some wording wasn't clear, so we went back with Blizzard, you know, a bunch on, like, what the building perks were. It was kind of confusing, because in the article, there was a picture of the building perks, but it didn't line up with the actual PTR, so people thought things were outdated, so we had to, like, look at the data again and, like, clarify wording, and then, like, update our 5 blogs that talked about buildings. Then, like I mentioned, we discussed the artifact calculator being a circle. We discussed some transmog tracking. Then we put up a post about the Paragon reputation levels and mount rewards, and found a reward we hadn't made a video of, so we had to scramble to get that up. And then the patch 7.2 background download came up, so you know, we rushed to post that up. Then we made sure our key topics posts were updated, you know, like our class mount overview or like the legendary updates. And then I went back to finishing a gearing guide, which I'm holding off on until the itemization Q&A, and a compiled list of class and artifact changes. So it's, yeah, like you're kind of always dropping something to, you know, put out a fire or answer someone's questions.
And so you don't get bored very often, huh?
Yeah, it's never a dull moment.
So so like you said, the quest popped up yesterday for the little, just the random dude chilling in your garrison.
Yeah.
Just like, so what does that look like for you? If you didn't see that, you know, if it was somehow tucked in to some sort of, you know, it never popped up before, what does that look like for you? Are you able to go in and kind of data mine that info out and see where it lands and where it ends before you finish it? Or do you have to actually play it on live now and see it through and see what happens?
So that's actually really interesting. Formerly, Blizzard had it set up where, you know, if you data mine quests, you could data mine everything. Mm-hmm. But in Legion, they've been getting more sophisticated where there are some important quests where you can't do that. Balance of Power was a great example. Like, you know, we only knew that there was Emerald Nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, look, there's even more mythics. And it's like, oh, you're doing something in Nighthold. And we could not tell in advance what the next quests were. So, you know, like every Tuesday we would data mine live servers again to see if new quests would pop up. Because, you know, like maybe one person in the world had done it and then we could data mine it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So we started to realize we had to do something with Urgent Warning because I was looking at site analytics and I'm like, I'm getting some really weird high hits on random pages that have the word urgent or warning in them. Like, this sounds strange.
People want to know what they're getting into, huh?
Yeah, so then I logged on and I saw that, and I'm like, oh, like we gotta get this quest up on the site quick. So I, you know, probably next Tuesday we'll be proactive in seeing what the next thing in the series is, because I'm sure there'll be another one of the series, because it's kind of dull that you just, you know, got sent off to do a garrison mission.
Yeah,
it wasn't... and that's all it was this random garrison mission. Okay, thanks, bye. I'm like, that's a little sneaky.
Yeah, so I think it's cool, though. I mean, hopefully, it's hard to top, but I liked in the pre-patch when you would do a different Legion thing each week. So, you know, you go to Ulduar, Council of the Six. So right now the Garrison mission isn't nearly as exciting, but maybe we'll have some cool, you know, lore things leading up to 7.2.
So do you like the fact that it's becoming more sophisticated and like that you need to do more detective work, or is that more frustrating for you knowing now that you never know what you're going to get and you have to wait for somebody to figure it out and then you can jump on it? Or
so I think for the most part I like it because it really values you know, I think it's fun to do the detective work and to do the research, and there's less room for speculation. You know, you can't just like wonder about a quest 2 months before it goes live. You sort of have to react quickly and figure out what it is and then present it as fast as possible. You know, it's kind of a fun race. It feels really good when you post something and then a lot of people are helped. Like, I remember after we posted the Anduin thing, even on the PTR, like, we started seeing all these other people flying around the PTR trying to find out where the compass was, how to start that. So I think for the most part, it's fun. The part I don't really like is the more technical side when Blizzard will say, oh, we repackaged how the data was presented to save, like, 0.001% of storage space. And it's like, well, this isn't fun. Like, now we're just kind of, you know, reinventing the wheel here. And, like, you know, it's... So, I mean, that stuff feels kind of annoying. Like, we'd rather be spending the time, you know, building new site features or, you know, highlighting cool things as opposed to, like, oh, God, like, no items load, make all the items load type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That actually... So that reminds me of something that's here in our notes. Maybe you could talk a little bit about some pieces of the site that are newer or maybe not as well known or helpful that maybe don't get as much traffic as you thought they would.
Sure. So the site over the years, like it's changed a lot. This kind of goes back to Blizzard. You know, Blizzard creates an in-game database and dungeon journal, and then, you know, all of a sudden parts of WoW had are redundant and we have to do cooler things to get people to go to that part of the site. So, you know, an example is the Dungeon Journal made it so no one really needed to look up, like, which boss had a spell on WoWhead. But it's like, oh, well, like, if WoWhead has really good raid guides, then that's a reason to still visit, you know, those pages on WoWhead.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always in a process of trying to, you know, innovate parts of the site. You know, there's been hits, there's been misses over time. We like to think there's more, you know, we're mostly good at figuring out ways to enrich the data on WoWhead. One thing which I think is a little underrated right now are the tracking tools. So we have the profiler and we have the wardrobe tool. And you can track a lot of your character's progress for things like mounts and pets and achievements and, you know, quests for lore master on WoWhead. And some of the basic info was pulled from Blizzard's, own API. But if you use the WoWhead client to sync that up with your character, we can let you track a lot of stuff that Blizzard doesn't track. So we can track your progress on archaeology. We can track your progress on the toy box.
Oh, nice.
We can show what appearances you've collected. So there's a lot of cool things that you can do with the tracking tools on WoWhead. And you can even set it up so when you are browsing like a list of items, a little checkbox will show up being like, hey, you've collected, you know, 5 out of these 10 items you're looking at. And yeah, we think stuff like that is fun. And like I mentioned before, with everyone grinding artifact power, we've kind of seen a decrease to the fun collection, you know, vanity item parts of the site.
Yeah.
And,
right.
Yeah, we think people should just, you know, go and collect things for fun and, you know, get mounts and pets and, you know, look cool doing it.
So I know when the Warlords Flying first came out, you guys had the tracker on that, and all I would do is go in and plug my character in, and
it
would just come up and show percentages and everything. And that was, I loved that. Absolutely
that
loved
it.
We were all linking it to each other. You know, here's what I need, and where are you at, and I can help you do that. And that was amazing, and I love that. And I think you guys have something like that for Legion Flying as well, right?
Yeah, so that sadly got a little bit of a bad rap because at the start of Legion, Blizzard wasn't tracking some reputations properly for the Horde. So people were like,
oh,
it still doesn't work. And it's like, no, like it's really like Blizzard doesn't think that Valajar exists to play a Horde character.
Oh, no.
But we came up with a workaround. Yeah, we had a workaround for that, actually. And we're seeing really good traffic to the Legion Pathfinder tool again. And we've also set it up to where it's all ready for 7.2. So, you know, as soon as 7.2 goes live, you can track your progress for that next step. And yeah, like we think that a really cool part of WoWhead is like, you know, like we have all the basic data, but if something like flying comes up, we can just easily spin up a tool to address that one specific concern. Another cool thing we think is cool is... we have all these transmog tools, and with the wardrobe system coming in 7.2, it's like, oh, you know, transmog sets might be really important. Or the dressing room, I feel, has this really hardcore group of followers, but if you're not into transmog, you don't know about it. Basically, we got tired of not having a model viewer page, so we made this page called the dressing room where you can import your character, change their hair, skin color, whatever, race, and... dress them up however you want, all artifact tins, put them on a mount, and you can save that as an outfit, and then whenever you go into an item page, it will say, hey, like, these 20 outfits use this sword, you know, browse all the matching transmog. So We have this really tight-knit system of transmog tools and the model viewer, which people that don't transmog might not know about, but they should get familiar with 7.2.
Man, I'm not taking advantage of that at all. Like, that sounds awesome.
So you had mentioned the Wowhead.
It is a super fun tool.
You mentioned the Wowhead client. How do I get that?
All right.
I'd like
to
do that.
So you go to Tools. Okay. So you can go to the Tools drop-down menu on the front page, and you'll see, like, a column for Character, Items, and Other, and it's the top thing under Other.
Okay.
And you can just install it. It's pretty lightweight. Like, you just have it running when, you know, you log into WoW, and then when you log out of WoW, just hit the upload button. And we will get, it does two things. You can send us data, which helps us, you know, populate those, this mobs drops this item.
Oh, I was wondering where that, like, how do you know that 12,000 people, you know, like that?
Yeah. So that's where that comes from. And then if you go to, like I mentioned, the profiler or wardrobe page on the character list and tools, there'll be like a tab or instructions being like, do you want to track more things? Like, make sure you have the client and click here to follow these steps. And it's really simple. Like, if you've entered a Wowhead beta key giveaway, you've already had to, like, sync your character up with the client, I think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you might be tracking all this cool stuff on Wowhead via the client you didn't realize you were.
Okay. Another quick question. Flying in 7.2, is there a lot to do if you've done everything prior?
So it's pretty interesting. There's a lot to do, but it's staggered. I was thinking about this pretty recently because, you know, with the background downloader, I'm like, oh, what's 7.2? So at the start of 7.2, you'll be able to explore the Broken Shore and do gain armies of Legion Fall rep for the new items, get nether shards, build different buildings, you know, kill rares, do the new dungeon, new PvP season, new world quests, Legion invasions, new recipes. But then the raid will not be available for a few months, and everyone's, you know, making a big deal about the class mounts, but I think you'll have to do some things before before you can get the class mount. So you'll have to do more of your class campaign, you know, the thing you had to do for the third artifact relic slot. So there are more class campaigns, there are more champions, that's something else you can work on when the patch starts. There are new world bosses you can get. There are the artifact empowered traits. So if your artifact is at 35 points, you can do a special quest to, you know, unlock all those new traits. There are some crafted legendaries you can get. So there is a lot of solo and small content coming right when 7.2 hits. But then I feel it's going to be staggered because, you know, you're not going to get your class mount like day one of the patch. You're going to have to do some stuff for flying, then, you know, do the champion quest line, then you'll get your class mount, you know, the raid's still not out yet. So I think Blizzard likes this cascading effect of having stuff to do instead of, like, here's everything at once. But there is a lot of stuff coming right at the start of 7.2 still.
Great. I wanted to ask when you were talking about the collections and being able to track a lot of that stuff. So let's say, like, I look and I'm at 170 something toys, and there's an achievement for getting 200 toys. Can I use that tracker to go in and browse through and maybe find some easier to get ones or some low hanging fruit kind of thing?
So there are a few ways you can do it. We have a toy box guide, or if you go to like the items database section of Wowhead, you can say like only show me toys from vendors, or like only show me toys from achievements, or only show me toys from drops. And you know, if you have a lot of gold, you could just say, oh, cool, like, these are all the ones that cost gold. I don't care if they're expensive. I'll just, you know, buy these and I'll get to 200 easily. And, you know, the comments are really great as well. You know, you might find something that you didn't really care about. But, like, you know, if you like toys, you're probably a little sentimental or you, you know, care about the personality of it. Because, you know, toys are lighthearted. So you might say, hey, the screenshot's really cool. Like, on a whim, like, how do I get this? And, you know, the comments are really funny, I think, especially on the collection pages. So you'll get a sense if an item is difficult to get or not based on the tone of the comments and what's really highly upvoted.
I think the community and the comments are probably like one of the most useful things that I, because I go to the site probably, I don't want, maybe not every day, but almost every day. And the first mm-hmm. thing I do when I'm trying to find something, if I'm stuck on a quest or looking for an item, or I want to kind of look ahead to see what I'm about to do, you know, you click on that comments tab, and next thing you know, you've got, you know, this whole system of, you know, people have kind of built up a reputation. So, you know, like this person's upvoted, or, you know, the color of the text, and you can see right away that this person has done the thing, and they, you know, and they know exactly where to go, and here's the coordinates. And it's like a really, really good way that you guys have set that up.
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking a lot about the stuff I've been doing, but, you know, we, you know, definitely should say, like, you know, that the comments are awesome, and user community that powers those comments is really amazing. You know, especially with things, how, you know, how things are on the internet, it's like, oh, you know, our site is really awesome because we have all these positive, helpful comments. And I usually don't think of wanting to read the comments and visiting mm-hmm. the internet in the same sentence, but you know, we really try hard to make this site be a welcoming place where people, you know, feel comfortable leaving comments. And that also ties into the guide system, you know, if for some topics, you know, maybe a guide is better than a comment. So we try to set up like guides as super comments that users can, you know, write and share and get linked on the comment pages and get upvotes and all that good stuff as well.
Yeah, it's very community driven. Like, I mean, you guys put all the work of like curating this site, but then from there, like, you know, users have a lot of input and a lot of ways to give feedback.
Yeah, for you know, during the beta, if we notice users like really going over the top, leaving a ton of comments, we'll reach out to them and ask if they've considered writing a guide on a topic, and, you know, can we help them in their quest to leave all these awesome comments. And it's, you know, like, we got some really great guides from that, like the comprehensive Suramar guide, the guide to artifact weapons, the legendary overview. You know, some of the best ones came from users that we saw were, you know, really making an effort, and we wanted to reach out and see if we could, you know, facilitate that and make their research shine even more.
Well, Daryl and I love it in particular because then we reach out to the people that you've reached out to, and we could do it in the audio format of this podcast. So
it's really awesome that you've gotten so many, you know, class writers on the show. You know, I just was talking about how the guide system is like an extension of the comments where the users really own it. You know, they can update it anytime, they can format it however they like, you know, add pictures. You know, they really own the guides, and, you know, we might facilitate them and be like, hey, like, have a page for, you know, gear, have a page for rotation. But, yeah, like, it's all them doing the updates for that. And we also give our guide writers a special rank in the site Discord in case you ever want to, like, ask them for a question or, you know, need more clarification on something.
We had a couple of people ask a couple of questions, and I don't want to run super long here, but Mehmet from Twitter would want you to talk a little bit about you going public with Pepe and what that's been like for you.
So, it's too bad we don't want a video, but yeah.
Do you have him on right now?
He's here. Well, both of them are. Everyone that follows me on Twitter knows that I like posting pictures of the little orange birds, Pepe. Blizzard sent me and a bunch of people a copy of, like, a secret, top secret copy of Pepe, like, a week before he was going public. And they're like, oh, I'll just, you know, take pictures. It would be cool to share them on social media the day it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so cute and soft and fluffy. and I grew up with pet ducks and, you know, always, they had really funny personalities, so I kind of put the personality of the pet ducks into Pepe. And I kind of had, you know, he's super cute, he has a personality, but his face looked a little funny, so I sort of turned it into a strength where he's, like, always inquisitive, and he has his head turned. You know, like, he's very boss. So I just had fun carrying him around all over the place. I'd recently moved as well, and I was homesick a lot, so when I was, like, not feeling good, it was like, okay, like, at least take Pepe out, like, pose him in a funny place, you know, at least he's going on an adventure. You know, if you feel homesick, at least try to, you know, view things from a different perspective and find something, you know, whimsical or fun to share with people. So, yeah, I get some funny stares about taking him around, but I don't know. I mean, I'm from New York, like, you see all sorts of crazy things happening in the city. A little orange stuffed animal isn't too out there.
So, if you're on the East Coast, and a lot of this stuff that you're doing is time sensitive to West Coast, is that kind of a pain for you, or you just kind of
adapted to it? So that's kind of funny. I'm actually on the West Coast now, and I've always lived on the East Coast.
Oh, okay.
Because we have so many people from Europe that use the site, like Russia in particular, and so many things. You know, this is like 10 a.m. East Coast. It's, you know, 7 a.m. Pacific time. So it's actually been kind of a struggle because the rhythm felt almost better on the East Coast. You know, like you don't want to wake up and be like, oh, you know, the Russian site went down and there are 9 hours advance. And I totally miss, you know, the European traffic spike of the day. But, you know, hiring more people to take shifts is good. Even if there wasn't a time zone thing, having more people, you know, sharing a workload is good. But yeah, it's also funny because a lot of events in the U.S. Start earlier in Europe. So as we try to get better about posting stuff in Europe promptly, there's some really bizarre time zone things that can pop up. Like, you know, if this is live at 7 a.m. and like, what's the Europe time? Is this midnight or 1 a.m. that this goes live? And you can start getting tripped up with time zones pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't doubt it. This question here, I actually stole from Wowhead Twitter. I saw you guys post it this afternoon, so I grabbed it right away. But the background downloader started for patch 7.2. So when do you think 7.2 will hit?
So Blizzard tweeted it wasn't the 21st. It's funny because they tweeted the week of the 14th that the patch wasn't ending on the 14th, and I'm like, well, obviously the PvP season isn't ending, like, you know, the day after you tweeted. But
right.
So I think that I would think April 4th because we just had legendary tuning. They said that there's more legendary tuning coming, and I mean that the 28th just feels soon, like. You know, today I learned that the Broken Shore buildings had 4 perks instead of 1. Like, I feel that the Broken Shore has not really been playtested a ton. Like, they keep adding stuff to it that is kind of unpolished. So, but I do think the PvP season will have to be tied to the new patch because, you know, like, all those tier sets look like tier 20. Like, all that stuff only exists on the PTR. It's not like Nighthold where it, like, you know, lurked in the data for months and then they just, you know, it's like, oh, here it is. It can happen anytime. So I feel like we need patch 7.2 to hit for the PvP season to start. It could be the 28th, but I think that the 4th is, I think that the 4th is more likely with everything going on.
I think I still have, stuck in my old ways of thinking that patch is also tied to raid content and they really.
I get so many people talking about that. They're like, oh my god, like, Nighthold, what do I do? And so soon it's like, well, like, I keep saying, you know, Tomb is coming sometime after 7.2 hits. Like, you can do Nighthold. It will probably be easier because you'll have, you know, like, Relinquished Gear and, you know, gear from World Bosses you know, Crafted Legendaries and all this other stuff.
Oh, Crafted Legendaries. What's your... I don't even know if I want to talk about that.
I think it's cool that one turns you into an owl. We're just talking about birds, but yeah, that's another thing that isn't totally testable on the PTR. You can buy them from a vendor, but I haven't figured out how to actually pick up the quest on the PTR yet, so we'll see.
I think that's still probably being fine-tuned, honestly, because of, you know, the whole thing about being able to target legendaries and whatnot. I feel like legendaries are just becoming the new epics almost, and they're And unless you get a very specific one, then all it is stats at this point.
Yeah, it feels very, you know, Diablo style. Like, I'm definitely not the first or 100th person to make the trials. Like, oh, it's Kaldala, but instead of, you know, the shards, you have nether shards, and you turn them in for the relinquished item, and you hope you get the one for the slot you need type thing.
They just need to make that noise when they drop on the ground, and we will have gone all the way. Full Diablo.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel a little funny for me. I mean, I was talking about when I, like, you know, when I was raiding and managing this guild and talking about Uldor, it's, you know, like, oh, Valinir, like, it's just all these epic quest lines where, like, there was only one person at a time that could get something, and, you know, it was a very different experience. So, like, that's always my first gut reaction or memory of a legendary, and, It does feel a bit funny to be, you know, covering the PTR and be like, oh, well, now I'm going to go craft this legendary and sell it on the auction house. You know, it's just, you know, it's like, wow, be big change.
Mm-hmm.
So I like I was saying, I don't want to keep you too long here, but I did want to maybe briefly talk about, there's been a little bit of feedback about the actual site itself and people not understanding maybe how you guys are working your ads and generating revenue and doing that. Do you want to maybe address that a little bit and talk about where things are standing right now?
Sure. So first off, you know, I just want to come out and say that we have had some site stability issues in the past few months, and we know that when the site isn't working as expected, it can be upsetting to players, and you know, tensions can get high. But we really appreciate all the feedback we've been given, and we've been trying to outline the steps we're taking. We get frustrated if they're slow as well, and we do think we actually made a change this past Monday, which so far, based on our own testing, seems to have been useful. So basically, Wowhead requires ads to run. There are different types of ads we can run. There are direct sales, which is, you know, you might see like buy Legion now plastered all over the site. And there's also a type called remnant, which is randomized across the site. Those ads can sometimes be noisy, which gets people, you know, it gets people into trouble. Another detail with these ads is that people spend like hours on Wowhead. It's like very unusual user patterns compared to other sites that have, you know, the same type of Google ranking. Because there's so much strain on the site, we refresh ads every 90 seconds to, you know, help with server costs and, you know, to more effectively monetize things. If you, you know, refresh ads for hours, you might run through the ad provider's good inventory and get kind of annoying ads. We've turned the refreshes off after an hour. You might think, wow, an hour's forever, but when someone's playing for 5 hours straight, you know, like there actually is a cost factor involved in analytics of like what's an ideal time, you know, for revenue and user experience to turn that off. But all that sort of goes back to the fact that we did identify an issue where we set up this system to prevent annoying ads from appearing on Wowhead, like pop-ups. And we also want to say that we have an ad provider, and they have many ad channels with geographic regions. So it's like a needle in a haystack trying to nail things down. But we do like report a lot of ads, and we do get data. Like, we have someone full-time reporting ads on Wowhead. So to help sort of move out these unwanted ads before they appeared, we set up this, we call it like a sandbox. It was like this like wall to block things. But instead of totally blocking them, the annoying ad like kept sort of like banging on the front door of the site. And that led to performance issues and some people saying like, wow, why is Wowhead trying to load like a billion ads, or like, you know, this behavior is strange. And we think on Monday we changed how the, you know, that system worked. So if there's an annoying ad, it won't try to keep, you know, making noise. It will just like be discarded. So we think that solved the issue. We know it was going on for a few months. We're also trying to work on some other things to improve the situation. For example, we're trying to implement Amazon affiliates because we think maybe if you're, you know, buying computers from Wowhead and get a percentage of the revenue, maybe that, you know, could mean we have less random ads on the page if that performs well enough. You know, we're contacting an ad screening firm where they can help, you know, report ads so the Wowhead team, you know, could focus more on content and not, you know, like reporting the ads for the entire day.
Gotcha.
We've also discussed switching providers, using different types of providers, but, you know, like Wowhead's a really, it's a really big, expensive site to maintain. Especially with the frequent PTRs, especially because so much of the audience is international and, you know, an ad that's in English is not going to really appeal to someone in like Russia or China. So, you know, we are trying to strike a balance. You know, malware is bad, obviously. We haven't actually gotten reports about malware. We know that people that have been experiencing the unwanted behavior are concerned that maybe it's malware, but like it's 99% of the time it's not. It's this program we set up that is, you know, ironically did what it should not have been doing. It made the ad situation more annoying instead of Mm-hmm. You know, it hit the annoying ad, and the annoying ad came back with a vengeance.
Gotcha, yeah.
And if you're listening and you're someone that has been following the situation, I would just say we do have this site stability and flash issue thread on the Wowhead feedback forums. I'm not the technical manager for ads, but if I flubbed a little bit of the wording, I apologize. But the TLDR is that we think we identified the issue where the site performance was like really bad and lagging up the computer. We've been testing it. We've been asking people that were really affected by the issue to test it. A lot of people think it's better, but we've also identified more stuff we want to do moving forward. And we realize that people might be impatient just because it's slower than anyone would like when you start, you know, involving third-party advertisers and other sites that, you know, use ad programs and so on.
Well, that would lead me to ask you then, is that what's the best way to support Wowhead then? If you do upgrade to premium, is that an ad-free experience?
Yeah, so premium right now is $1 a month or $9 for a year. This, by the way, was not planned in the notes. This wasn't like, talk about ads and get premium.
No. Site, I actually, yeah. I use this site so much, it seems silly for me to not have premium, really. So.
I didn't know about premium,
I mean,
so hey.
Like, the site should, you know, 100% work fine without premium. Like, we don't want to say, you know, like, use premium or else, you know, you can't read your boss guide. But if you do want to support the site, it's $1 a month or $9 a year. We have a bunch of little perks you get as well. For example, you have a special color when you, you know, comment on the forums. You can get custom borders on your avatar. When you look up tooltips on Wowhead, a little screenshot of the item shows up next to it, which is really useful if you're, you know, wanting to browse a list of toys or transmog, fun stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
No ads is the main reason. We decided to keep the price low and not like paywall a major feature such as, you know, comments or a calculator behind premium because
right.
just the way things are, we don't want to feel like we're taking stuff away from people. And we got a lot of negative feedback with the higher price that people didn't really feel they were getting a lot of perks and they just wanted, you know, to toss us a dollar now and then for, you know, just like ads and basic support. So we're trying that. We have seen the number increase since the, you know, price decrease, which was maybe 4 or so months ago. We cannot gift premium right now, but we are working on that. And we think it'd be really cool if, you know, someone left a good comment and you're like, oh, I want to give that person.
Oh yeah. Like,
you know,
like Reddit gold or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's something we're actively working on.
So I you know, wasn't trying to steer this in any sort of a upsell direction, but like honestly, like I will have one or two Wowhead tabs open at any given time, and it really really seems like, you know, in this era of Patreon and kind of donation based content and everything, that, you know, you're not asking for people to, you know, to give an arm and a leg, but if you're going to use the site, and this is a lot of work goes into this, like most of us have been using this for years and years and years, you know, mm-hmm. It does cost money to upkeep and curate. So I'd say consider the premium service.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, that's awesome. Thank you for suggesting that. And if you can't, you know, do premium at the current time, you know, you'll still have all the site features. And if you want to show your support otherwise, you know, like follow the site, you know, Facebook, Twitter, share things with your friends. If someone's confused about something, you know, send them to maybe one of the Wowhead pages you think they won't know about. Mm-hmm. This is actually tying into another thing that's going on. Not to get too negative, but we had this this company tried to spoof and like usurp Wowhead in search results, and you would think you were going to a Wowhead link, but it took you to like Amazon site. And we finally, after a few months, we got them removed from Google results and flagged as actual malware. But it's taken a few weeks for the site to rebuild itself in SEO. And Wowhead has millions of links, but this site, WowEden, had like affected maybe like 500,000 of our URLs. So, but, you know, that's kind of a big scary number. So, we've been trying to do a lot to get our, you know, site pages back up there. So, you know, like every link helps where, you know, just linking it around to your friends, all that, you know, tells Google, hey, this is a good site. You should, you know, get them back up there on results. They're not this evil site.
Absolutely. Yep. I will always share what I find on here. It's good stuff. Hey, Daryl, do you have any other questions?
I don't think so. This was really cool, though. Like, it's you don't realize how much goes into it. It was just like when we had the gentleman from DBM on, you don't realize how much work these tools that everyone's using every day, and they don't realize how much work people are doing to make them usable and make them useful.
Yeah, Omegle and I commiserate a lot. Like, oh, like we want to play Pokemon today, but, you know, I guess we have to do, like, raid testing. Yeah, like, the Deadly Boss Mods is awesome. We try to help them, you know, out a lot with, you know, we always try to, like, data mine the full dungeon journal and then send that over to him so he can, like, see if a boss fight changed or if he has to, like, code up new abilities or he can easily grab the spell IDs from the, you know, real WoWhead dump of info. So, yeah, it's this raid schedule of, like, Nighthold and Tomb testing at the same time, that's pretty brutal on him as well.
Well, did you have any other points or any, you know, maybe last words of wisdom or joy or anything like that?
I mean, just, you know, thanks again for having me on, and you know, I think it's really awesome you've been reaching out to a lot of the WoWhead, you know, class guide writers. We've been, you know, Katsuki's been coordinating and getting a lot of cool people on board writing class guides and other types of guides. We even have a cooking show now with the official Warcraft.
That's amazing. That's
awesome. So, yeah, you know, thank you for, you know, supporting our community and helping get the word out about all these, you know, cool people we have affiliated with the site.
Yeah, it's great stuff. We actually had Katsuki on to talk about Overwatch not too long ago. So, yeah, I mean, there's just so many awesome resources in the community, and you guys seem to have really tapped into the core of that. So it's good to, I'm just thankful for what you guys are doing.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Just one more quick thing. Like, you know, I know I'm one of the more public figures in Katsuki, but, you know, when we were talking with all the data mining, and I keep mentioning, you know, these devs that are doing things like figuring out, you know, circles and lines, or, you know, tracking down these quests or making sure items don't break. You know, there's a lot of people working really hard, behind the scenes at WoWhead to make things happen. And, you know, the site's been around for so many years. There's been, you know, developers that are no longer with the site that have, you know, left their mark on cool parts of the site. So it really is a team effort. There's a lot of unsung heroes. You know, some people are more in the spotlight than others, but a lot of people are making it happen.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right. Well, you can send us an email at theshow@thetrainingdummies.com if you have anything to add to this topic or have questions about future topics. You can also feel free to leave us a voicemail on our website at thetrainingdummies.com, or you can join our Discord server at discord.me/TTD.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
All right, Rob, shoutouts, what do you got?
Definitely, Perkilia, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure just to spend this evening chatting with you about all the good stuff going on over there at WoWhead. And I would definitely say the raid team, we are, after reorganizing and swapping some, having some roster changes and doing some stuff over there, we are almost full cleared of Nighthold, and I'm super excited to go in and show Gul'dan what's up this week. So we should get that down. Daryl, what about you? What do you got?
Yeah, Gul'dan's going down this week, definitely. But yeah, big shout out to the raid team. That was awesome. We went 9 for 10 in our and even got a few attempts on Gul'dan in our short 3-hour raiding week. And yeah, a big shout out to Perk and the whole team over at WoWhead for providing such a great resource. I've been playing since vanilla. I do remember Thoughtbot, but I don't remember when that went away and WoWhead became the thing to go to, but I've been going to WoWhead ever since that occurred. So a big thanks to you guys and the whole team over there. Perk, do you have any shout outs this evening?
So, I mean, I guess the Wowhead staff, so, you know, content team, Stevon, Callie, not, Callie's a dev, so content is Stevon, Katsuki, and Serene, and then the data mining team, Callie and Nick handling all those weekly PTR bills, and then our, developer feature team, Jarek and Matt, who, you know, do cool things like the calculators and the model viewer and making Wowhead mobile friendly, and, SAS, 148, who's been, doing a lot of the testing and debugging of all the ad stuff going on and, you know, telling us there's progress. So, yeah, awesome job to everyone on the team. And, yeah, to all the, you know, guide writers and commenters and people that helped make the site awesome.
All right. Well, before we wrap this up, where can people reach you if they have questions about this topic or anything else?
So if you just want to chat about, you know, random things or see, you know, pictures of Pepe or desserts or Pepe staring at desserts, you can find me on my Twitter. So that's P-E-R-C-U-L-I-A. If you have, like, site-specific questions, like if you're like, hey, the ad situation actually got worse, the best place to do that is feedback@wowhead.com or join Wowhead's Discord. I think it's just, like, discord.gg/wowhead and leave that info in the site channel. You can also chat with me one-on-one there as well about lots of things. You know, I like talking about work stuff, but, you know, it's, I like to keep my Twitter more for, you know, personal, you know, quirky offbeat things or what I'm actually doing in the game, as opposed to, you know, work mode. But yeah, I'm happy to talk about either topic. You can also follow Wowhead on Twitter for all the news updates. Wowhead also has a Discord news webhook, so you can get all those Wowhead updates directly as soon as they are live, and that's under the tools section on Wowhead. And we also have a show every Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/wowhead with Panzer, a.k.a. Trade Chat, and we just review everything that's going on Wowhead, so like PTR, live, new merchandise, you know, discounts, all that good stuff.
Awesome. That is it for episode 159 of the Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with mics, so until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo!